Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
An Iranian-American author, commentator, and religious scholar was in Pella last week. What does he think about America's role in the war on terrorism? Let's go in depth with Reza Aslan, author of No God But God, The Origins, Evolution, and Future of Islam, and Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, Reza, I don't even know where to start with you. You're such a scholar and expert on so many things, a theologian, religious scholar, literature, now domestic and international affairs. I don't even know where to start with you. It's pretty amazing. You are a major, major figure in the national news talking about Muslim American affairs, international affairs, religious freedom.
I mean, it is true. I do a lot of things, but I think of myself first and foremost as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good skill to have in the world, because the fact of the matter is that religion is all about storytelling. Politics is all about storytelling. I think being able to take these very complex issues, be they social issues or geopolitical issues, issues of faith and identity, and be able to transform them into a story actually makes it easier for people to connect with. It makes it more palatable, appealing, more accessible. And that's something that I've always found true for myself. It's how I learn things. You know, it's very hard for me to just remember facts and figures, but put it in the form of a narrative and it stays with me forever. And that's a lesson I learned as a young person, and it's one that I have really brought into my own career.
Well, and now on the American political scene and geopolitical scene internationally, there's all kinds of narratives being told out there, especially about terrorism and relationships with Muslim Americans and the rest of America. And a lot of those narratives, you tell a different narrative than is a common one.
Yeah, and I think you've hit it on the head there, haven't you? Because you do see these competing narratives right now, particularly in the presidential elections, about where the United States is in the world, its relationship with its friends, its neighbors, its allies, and its enemies, the way in which we need to confront the very real national security threats that we have. You have a narrative that's being spun by some people that America is in a drastic decline, that we are losing on the world stage, this despite the fact that we have the greatest and most powerful military by far, the greatest and fastest growing economy by far. We are still the most important nation in the world. And yet this narrative that we are in decline is one that I think really resonates with a large swath of this country. And of course, if we are in decline, then something must be at fault. And it's an old story in this country that we tend to, in times of societal stress, and I would argue that we're definitely in one of those moments right now, look to an other within our midst, somebody that we can define ourselves against. This is precisely what happened at the end of the 19th century when Catholics in this country became a pariah. We had political parties in the country being formed. Speaking specifically of the Know-Nothings, on a Catholic, anti-Catholic agenda. We passed federal laws in this country trying to ban Catholic immigration. It happened certainly again in the interwar period. This time the Jews were the chosen other. It was quite common to hear paragons of business like Henry Ford or religious figures like Charles Coughlin or even celebrities talking about, like Charles Lindbergh, for instance, talking about the Jews as an insidious force within American society, something that we needed to define ourselves against. And I don't think it's unusual that we are hearing the exact same things being said about Muslims in this country. As I say, this is an old story. And so when confronted with that kind of story, it's important to counter it with a different story, a story that I think is far more in tune with American history, American values, American ideals. We are, after all, a country of immigrants. We are a country that has been defined by its diversity. And I feel like that is truly where the power of the American identity comes from, this notion of accepting the unity that exists within our diversity. And so we have to reject these narratives of racism and xenophobia, the narratives that try to divide us instead of unify us.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with author Reza Aslan. Now, I was reading something in the New Yorker the other day. I think it was a week or two ago. It was about leadership and how we're always stressing leadership and leadership. But to find true leaders, it says, we go looking for crises and you build fear and say that you can solve the crisis.
Right.
But you... And then it may, you have to have somebody to fear or something to fear, and then the leader will emerge to solve all of our problems.
Precisely.
And so is there an industry of fear now?
Let me put it this way. So it would not be an exaggeration to say that we are overwhelmingly concerned with Islamic terrorism and the threat of Islamic terrorism in the United States. We have one presidential candidate saying that we should have armed policemen monitoring and patrolling Muslim neighborhoods in this country. Not sure what a Muslim neighborhood actually is. I suppose that's a neighborhood with a Muslim in it. Only 1% of the entire population of the United States is Muslim. So, again, not sure what these Muslim neighborhoods are. We have another presidential candidate who is saying that we should bar all Muslims, including American citizens who are Muslims, from entering this country, and that that is the way to deal with the threat of Islamic terrorism. And yet we all know, because the government and the FBI has told us repeatedly because of statistics, that far, far more Americans have died at the hands of right-wing terrorism in this country since 9/11. Far more, at least twice as many, and that doesn't even count the fact that we don't refer to a lot of this violence as terrorism for various reasons. Far more people have died at the hands of right-wing terrorism in this country, and yet I've yet to hear a single candidate, I've yet to hear a single politician even bring that up, let alone actually acknowledge this fact. The San Bernardino shootings, which was a horrific example of Islamic terrorism in the United States, was also the 355th mass shooting in 2015, a year that ended with 372 mass shootings. So if this were about a real threat, if this were about a real fear, we would be having a vastly different conversation than we are having now. That is not to say Islamic terrorism is not a threat, but it is a threat that is absolutely overshadowed by other very real threats that we are not interested in talking about. Why? Because it's much easier in this narrative of fear that you were referring to point to this minority community as being the source of not just our fears, but the source of our decline, the source of everything that's wrong with this country.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with author Reza Aslan. Well, and you hear a different narrative constructed, too, about the I don't know, let's just say the non-Muslim terrorists. It's just like, they've always been fine. They were the boy next door. They were maybe a little bit strange, or that's a mental problem. We've got to deal with mental health. That's a whole different narrative.
Absolutely. Right? Yes. And by the way, all of that is true. I mean, people act out violently for a whole host of very complicated reasons. And it cannot simply be sort of subsumed by a single issue. Now, it is the case that when the person who acts out violently does so in the name of Islam, it becomes a one-to-one correlation. There can be no other issue that's at stake. It's simply a matter of religion. And yet, I find it interesting that when someone, for instance, Robert Deer, who shot up a Planned Parenthood clinic and who did so because he saw himself as a Christian warrior defending what he referred to as unborn babies, I didn't see a lot of conversation about his Christian identity and the one-to-one correlation between his beliefs and his actions. Instead, as you rightly point out, we talked about his childhood and the fact that he didn't have any friends and that he was a loner and that he must have been crazy. Now, all of those things may be true, but I think that they are as true about Robert Deer as they are about the San Bernardino shooters, who acted in a way that it defies any kind of logical or reasonable behavior.
Well, and I know I've got some listeners that are thinking, and they're absolutely right, the images that are coming from ISIS are so horrific. There's nothing nothing comes to mind to compare with the images of the beheadings and everything like that.
Nothing. It's unlike anything that we have ever seen in the modern world. It's a monstrosity that really has no historical parallels that I can think of. And I do think that we must avoid simply saying that these actions don't have anything to do with Islam. Because just the simplest answer to that is that if you call yourself a Muslim, you are a Muslim. If you say that you are acting in the name of Islam, let's take your word for it. Now, it is true that that behavior and those actions bear no resemblance to anything that could conceivably be called normative Islam, that it is so beyond the pale of anything that can be understood as mainstream Islam that you understand why many Muslims simply say that has nothing to do with us. But I think that that's a dangerous idea, because to simply say it has nothing to do with Islam, that it has nothing to do with religion, then keeps us from actually dealing with it in an effective way. Now, that said, the fact of the matter is that the victims of ISIS, by the tens of thousands, are overwhelmingly Muslims. They only occasionally kill a non-Muslim and almost never kill a Westerner, compared to the absolute slaughter, the genocide that they have enacted in the Middle East. We tend to only care when their victims are Westerners or white people or non-Muslims. But they have unleashed an ethnic cleansing of their fellow Muslims that is unlike anything that we have ever seen. So if ISIS is Muslim and their victims are 99% Muslim, then there's something else that's going on here than this very simple clash of civilizations mentality that may get you votes but doesn't actually deal with the problem at hand.
Is the problem solvable?
Yes, the problem is solvable. The problems are always solvable. I think that we have to recognize that there is a very real socioeconomic issue at play in the instability that we see in large parts of the Middle East, that we have to understand that there is an identity crisis taking place in large parts of Europe that is feeding into this ISIS narrative, a narrative that unfortunately is becoming more and more real in the United States, thanks to people like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. And that I think that we do understand that there is a military component to this conflict as well, that we are dealing, as I said, with an organization that is in the midst of a genocidal campaign. And we need to ask ourselves, as the United States of America, as the greatest military power in the world, do we have a responsibility when confronted with genocide? Now, forget about what threat it may pose to the United States. I think that's, something that's debated and arguable. But the fact of the matter is that do we have a responsibility to those tens of thousands of Muslims who are being slaughtered by ISIS? That's a question for your listeners, I think, to answer.
Thanks to Reza Aslan for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.